Mike here. Quick note. If you enjoy listening to Elise and I break down episodes and films on this podcast, you should know we have an entirely separate podcast through Patreon. There we break down New York City-based rom-coms like When Harry Met Sally, You've Got Mail, Hitch, Trainwreck, Bros, and many more to come.
I think that we should yell at children more often. Not parents. Parents, be nice to your kids, but the rest of us should sometimes take children out to task a little.
I never yelled at a child, but I did have an arch nemesis who was like 8 years old. Like, hearing you talk about it, I'm like, well, then why would they do all that for just that moment? But then you think about it, and if they didn't, it would look like the movies I made in high school with my friends. We're really, really concerned about the bottom line of Bros.
I really am. I feel like we've already found ways they could have saved money on the budget.
Right.
If they just would have asked us about it.
For $4 a month, you get 3 to 4 episodes monthly covering a rom-com, and we're doing some fun bonus content as well. You can find us on the Patreon app by searching We Couldn't Help But Wonder, or through our website, wecouldn'thelpbutwonder.com. Hope you join us there.
Elise Castle.
Hey, Mike Jensen.
Here we are. Finally happening. This has been so long in the making. I kind of can't believe that
we are getting married.
We're finally getting married. No, but if this was the real world, we'd be going on a bus tour tomorrow.
And I would have pooped at Scout.
Proudly.
Proudly pooped in the toilet at Scout.
Not just like, you know, in the back alley.
Yeah, I wouldn't be announcing it if something else happened. But hold on really quick.
Okay.
So because our Patreon subscribers got last week's episode a little bit early, we already have a butthole Don, which doesn't usually happen this quickly, and that is from Heather, and a reminder that Miranda is probably from Philly.
Yes, because that's where she went for her mother's funeral.
Funeral, yeah. Yeah, that's where everyone went to the mother's funeral, including Steve and Aiden.
I had forgotten about that. I was just in Pennsylvania recently, but not Philadelphia, and I guess that nowhere near it.
No, Philadelphia is very close to New York City, so that would make sense that both Carrie and Miranda would have taken field trips to the UN.
Yes.
Because people actually commute to New York City from Philadelphia.
I've never been to Philadelphia.
Broadway star Rob McClure
was wild.
Notably noted for doing that. I haven't either. Should we go?
Yeah, I would love to go, honestly. I have such a weird memory of seeing the Liberty Bell, and then I feel like I may have told this story already, but like, having a conversation with someone about like, oh yeah, I've seen the Liberty Bell. And they were like, oh, when were you in Philadelphia? I was like, I've never been to Philadelphia. Have I not actually ever seen the Liberty Bell? Maybe it went on tour once. Did it travel?
In a past life, Mike Jensen was there when it cracked.
I was there. I'm the one that cracked it.
All I can think about is Jerry Blank in an episode of Strangers with Candy where she goes, you want to ring the Liberty Bell? But she's not talking about that.
Gotcha. So we are here today to discuss The Last Supper Part 2, Entree.
Which entree in the United States means the second course. Because I know in some places entree means appetizer and people get confused.
Yes. In the United States of America, entree means the main course, basically.
Mm-hmm.
This originally debuted August 24th, 2023, and was written and directed by Michael Patrick King.
And August 24th is known as Mike Jensen's birthday eve.
Exactly, yes. So this originally came out the day before my birthday, and then we went on the bus tour on my birthday, and you pooped a Scout. Which, when we went, was in downtown Manhattan. It had not yet moved to Brooklyn.
Maybe I was the reason it had to move.
Maybe. They're like, we gotta get out of here. So we're opening with Carrie entering her building, and a couple things. This is always funny to me because it's interesting how few times we've been downstairs at her building.
Well, we never were downstairs during the original series, but now it's
like that. Yeah.
Now it's the sixth lady.
Yeah.
Carrie's lobby.
And then it was pointed out because I was a little confused. And in fact, I have strange notes about it later on that I'll bring up, but it's been settled that we're only about an hour and a half has passed since the previous episode ended.
Okay.
That Aiden has had just enough time to get on a plane and fly and get Wyatt home, which is sort of what we're overhearing. But she's in the same outfit that she was in at the end of the previous episode. She's just gone out to do some errands.
Okay, that makes sense. Because I thought maybe she was recycling outfit, but she's not. He didn't miss the plane.
He did not miss the plane.
Yeah, and she's on the phone with him checking on Wyatt. And she comes in with a hat box and another shoe box as if she was shopping in 1953.
which maybe she was, who knows? And we see that her place is in a state of turnover, that there's not a lot of her old stuff there. And we see those rented party chairs that I feel like are so ubiquitous.
And we see the cat, and she loves the cat.
I just wrote kitty with many exclamation points.
Yeah, you can tell that she is keeping this cat. I like that the kitty eats out of and drinks out of things that are not cat food dishes.
That makes sense.
Yeah, no, that's what my mom does. My parents have a dog, and he is almost 17 years old, and his name is Glenn. And Glenn has never eaten out of a dog bowl.
Sure.
Or drank out of a dog bowl. He eats and drinks out of like Fiestaware bowls, and they get washed all day.
And I just love, I do love how people talk to their cats.
Mm-hmm.
And it always kind of sounds like the cat is answering, which I'm sure it is.
A 100.
And then we have a phone ringing. All right, here we are. It's Samantha, and we have Hello London.
I feel like because we are recording this almost 3 months after this has aired,
yeah,
that it doesn't feel as exciting as it would have had we recorded this right after we saw it.
Correct. Because we had sort of talked about, and also like my recording process with this has been different. I mean, I think that I've said this before, that what I tend to do is I watch one time just for me. Like, I try to just enjoy it as like a new episode of the show. And then I'll watch it again and take notes. And that can take anywhere from 3 hours to who knows how long, depending on how I get obsessive I get about a location or a fact. And then I do try to watch it a third time the day. Like, I watched this episode for the third time today. But my point being, I watched it when it originally aired 3 months ago, and then hadn't seen it again until a couple days ago when I did my notes. And it was that funny thing where there were things that I'd sort of forgotten. There were things that like I had maybe missed. There were things that I wasn't noticing because I was taking notes so much time later. But yeah, I remember obviously like night of this coming out, I did not expect this much. I did not expect us to have this. In my mind, I think that I even maybe said this on the podcast, I predicted the episode would end with like Carrie being like on the phone. You wouldn't even hear Samantha's voice. And Carrie would be like, anyways, hope you're well. And then it would flash to her being like Samantha with New York in the background, like, yeah, maybe I'll see you soon. Blackout. Like, that's literally all that I expected us to get of Samantha.
Right.
So the fact that we get this whole conversation now all these months later doesn't feel like such a big deal, but in the moment I was like, I was not expecting this much.
No, and it is, we were told that Patricia Field costumed only Samantha for this scene. She looks great. She is in a car and she's not going to make it in time because her flight was delayed 3 hours.
Yeah, and I did write, did Patricia Field get paid $1 million to pick out this ensemble?
Because you want that job.
I'd be terrible at that job. I'm the worst with, I'm literally wearing like a blue tank top right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, I guess the other thing about this is that also in my mind, and this is so dumb, I don't know why I would have thought this, but just with the things we were hearing, it almost seemed to me like Sarah Jessica Parker and Michael Patrick King weren't in on her being in the episode. Like,
right.
The way it was explained to me was that, like, some studio executive figured out how, like, oh, we're going to sneak her in and no one's going to know about it.
Yeah, I thought maybe she would be at the airport and then they'd be like, no, your flight's canceled. And then she just, like, texts Miranda and says, I won't make it. Don't tell Carrie I ever even tried.
Truly, like, know? That's kind of what I thought it was. So then when you actually see the scene and you're like, oh, no, Michael Patrick King wrote this conversation. Like, he wrote this conversation for them to have. They knew it was going to be a conversation because then it's Samantha saying, like, put me on speaker. I want to talk. And Carrie's reacting to it. So I don't know that Sarah Jessica Parker is hearing Kim Cattrall saying these words, but she knows what's being said. So she clearly knew, and of course she knew. Of course it wasn't as like undercover as for some reason I made it be in my head. But I really, once again, remember watching this being like, this is so much more than I thought we were going to get.
Yeah, and I guess it's a reminder too that Carrie and Samantha are on good terms.
Yes, and the line is spoken, and this didn't click until I listened to the Writer's Room podcast, where one of the lines is Carrie saying, well, I'll just see you tomorrow. And what that is supposed to do is make us understand that they have seen each other, that it wouldn't have been crazy for Samantha to come to New York and for them to have dinner. We've just never seen it happen. That they'd made the decision of, we'd had so much texting in the first season that they kind of thought, we're just going to they'll go ahead and let it go, and it will all culminate in this really cool cameo. So we are supposed to understand that they are in a good place, and I did write that while I enjoy the scene and I'm glad what they did, it did also feel very bittersweet because we're aware of the reality in which Kim Cattrall is not coming into New York to go out to dinner with Sarah Jessica Parker. And I don't mean to muddy the waters or like get into that more than we already have. But while I really enjoyed it, it also made me a tiny bit sad.
Yeah. And she does go on speaker and says, "Thank you for everything, you effing fabulous, fabulous lat."
Yeah, we get a little bit of an accent there, which I saw where this was going and I still enjoyed it. But we did get the throwback of like, this is Annabelle Bronstein from Ninja, which was such a moment that I quote not infrequently.
Well, two things. I just wrote that Samantha is Madonna-ing.
Yeah,
sorry.
A little bit.
And I thought in this moment too, oh, is this what this episode's going to be? Where we kind of have a bunch of throwback inside jokes from the series.
And to a certain extent, you know, we had a few of them.
Mm-hmm. And it does happen. And then Kitty escapes, but Kitty escapes very slowly and not that dramatically, but SJP makes it very dramatic.
Yeah. And I do like, you know, when it's all fine, I don't know. I think that Carrie saying, like, I can't handle any more drama feels a little bit winking at the conversation that we just had. And maybe I'm making that up, but it felt a little bit like,
maybe
no more drama.
And now we're at the Golden Blatt York residence, and Harry is waking up Charlotte, who is still in last night's outfit, to let her know that Anthony is here. Why didn't he text? Because your phone is in a picture of margaritas,
yeah.
Charlotte.
And it took me, so on this one I did write like, oh, is this the next day? And of course it is, yeah, because we've already established this is the same day as the previous episode ended.
Yeah, and why is Anthony here, one may wonder? Oh, just wants to talk about losing his ass virginity.
And I guess Charlotte's the one you go to about that, because she's been in a similar situation before.
Oh, misses up the butt.
Yeah.
I don't think it's necessarily that. I don't think he's like, which one of my, I'm sure Anthony has a lot more friends that he would go to more about losing the ass virginity. I think maybe Charlotte is just the friend that he goes to who might understand this. Because if he goes to maybe some of his other gay male friends, they might not take him as seriously.
I guess so. But yeah, and it's a whole will he, won't he scenario. And I thought that Harry was kidding when he says, I got the kids out of the house, and then does that little like, I can't do it all.
I think Harry was having a little bit of an exasperated temper tantrum moment, but I don't think that he thinks he's doing it all. I think he just doesn't know how to hold in his frustration. And now Charlotte's mad.
I can't talk loud, so please just listen. You are not doing it all. I know, because you made a few breakfasts and you ran a few errands, that it feels like you are. But in fact, you're doing the bare minimum of what I and other women have been asked, no, expected to do around the house for years and years and years. And now I am asking, no, expecting you to help me with part of it, not all of it. Because I love my work and I am good at it. I want to keep doing what I am doing, minus the blackout drinking.
Yeah, good call.
So I need your help and your support, not your words of help and support.
Yeah, I liked all of this. I liked her
Me
speech
too.
That she gives here. And it's basically, tell Anthony that I'm not available.
Yeah, you can support me right now by telling Anthony I'm not available. And then Harry just goes, I never even heard the term ass virgin.
It's a good little button. And then we get to Coney Island with Steve. And I didn't really understand the speaking Spanish.
No, me neither. I said Steve is now speaking Spanish to Victor, who is helping him get his clam shack set up. But Victor just says, Steve, just speak English.
Yeah. Like without the trace of
it. It didn't really make sense.
Yeah, is there any indication that he speaks Spanish?
Right. Or is Steve just also doing Duolingo and is trying to practice?
Maybe.
Or as Mike calls it, Dua Lipa?
Dua Lipa Lingo. And then Miranda's there.
And seagulls.
And then I do like that we have the discussion of, because now we're just accepting that this is Paul's daughter.
Right.
So we're living in an alternate universe where Steve has purchased Paul's daughter and is remaking. I don't know if he's just remaking that fourth of it or if he's remaking the whole thing.
He's not going to change the name, but hopefully Paul had a better few years than me.
And there's some sort of strangely flowery language about his head being smashed like a watermelon.
Yeah. And Miranda saying that bad. And I'm thinking, Miranda, yes, it was that bad for him. Come on.
Yeah.
But Steve says it's in the past, but Miranda doesn't want it in the past. She wants to be part of his present and maybe his future. But Steve says, just as friends, right? You're not going to... Oh, wait, sorry. Just as friends, right? You're not going to go straight again? I can't get back on that roller coaster. And they talk about the cyclone, which I've never ridden, but Mike has, and it's terrifying to me.
Yeah, it's quite the adventure, and they will make sure that the correct person is sitting on the inside because the outside person will slam against them many times.
Fat shaming.
Yeah, basically. They're like, hey, big guy, you're on the inside on this one.
It's a wooden roller coaster?
It is, yeah. And, you know, I like her thing about, you know, you were smart about a lot of things. And it is sort of pointed out that they bought that house when you could buy a house in Brooklyn, and you can't really do that anymore. Like, there's no way they could afford that house now.
No, I mean, you can buy a house in Brooklyn. Like, Carrie could probably buy a house in Brooklyn.
Sure, yeah. Like, they're very, very expensive. And yet, something we've touched upon here before, but it's funny to even think about when the episode took place where Miranda and Steve were buying that house. There's all this to do of like Brooklyn. Like, I don't do Brooklyn. I don't go to Brooklyn. And even when she catches the cab and the cab's like, lady, I don't go to Brooklyn. It's funny to think about that now because Brooklyn is so popular. And that's kind of what's being referenced here, is that there really was a time that unless you were going to like Brooklyn Heights, where Moonstruck takes place, like that has been trendy. Like, that's been a place to live. And but nothing else. Like, no one wanted to live in Brooklyn. Like, it was the scary outer borough. And now it's deeply coveted.
Mm-hmm. You were smart about a lot of things. You were smart about us buying the house and moving to Brooklyn when we did.
We could never afford to buy that place now.
And you were right about us being good parents.
Yeah, we didn't kill them.
Yet.
Dead.
The only thing you weren't right about was us.
No, I was right about us for a very long time.
And I just wrote, they are so good together. And I don't mean Miranda and Steve necessarily, but like you look at Cynthia Nixon and David Eigenberg, like they're so good together. Like you can just see why they would have brought on this actor for a small, I'm sure he was brought on to do a couple of episodes, and they were just like, nope, they're going to have to eventually get married. Like, the two of them are just so wonderful together.
And then Brady rides up,
and I did not notice it. And maybe I noticed it once again because I watched it the first time when it came out and then didn't watch it again until I was taking my notes, that when he's credited in the final credits, I was like, he wasn't even in the episode. And then, yeah, he's there. He's right there.
Yeah, he creepily does his Brady ride up on Coney Island where he's very excited. And I think he's just excited because all he has to do is ride up on Coney Island to get that paycheck.
Yeah, it's
he's
true.
He's just like, yep, yeah, 100%. Here.
That's two episodes where he's just been like, and I'll take my money.
Yeah. And so now we are at Naya's office in Columbia and Jean comes in, a.k.a. Andre DeShields, who is not new to the Sex and the City universe. He played Charlotte's tap instructor in season 4.
Yeah, I wrote Jean, Andre DeShields, who used to teach tap classes under the name Pat, is here. And they do talk about it on the podcast, where they were like, he's just too good. Like, we couldn't not have him back. Like, we wrote this role. We wanted him to do it.
And we talked about this when we talked about him, I believe, in season 4, but he did win the Tony for Hadestown.
Yes. Well-deserved.
And he is wonderful.
I love that show.
Yeah, wonderful. Great speech. And he says he submitted Naya for the American Law Institute, and she was accepted, even by his nemesis, Larry.
Is it Larry? It was like, oh, Larry, or oh, Larry. Like, I wasn't, does it just Larry?
I don't know. Andre DeShields has such a captivating speaking voice, unlike me today, captivating speaking voice that I think everything he says sounds like.
Very fancy.
Yeah.
So I did do a little bit of research, so I'm going to read this quickly. The American Law Institute is a private, independent, nonprofit organization that publishes restatements of the law, principles of the law, and model codes to further its mission to clarify, modernize, or otherwise improve the law to promote the better administration of justice. The election of an individual to the American Law Institute begins with a confidential nomination by an ALI member who is well acquainted with the candidate's work, which is then supported by seconding letters from two additional ALI members. So all of that apparently happened in a week, which That tracks.
And Larry was one of those members.
I guess so. And I wrote this as a strange little scene that seems like it's just making up for the fact that we didn't give her much to do this season.
Yeah, but she is a jewel. He tells her she's a jewel.
Yes.
And it also, I think, is a reminder, because all of the women in this episode seem to have these little reminders that they are still, not that their careers are important, but in a way that they are still their own person. And I think this was Naya's nudge that she is her own person and that she is successful and celebrated.
And I guess it's also to get us to the next scene, which I will do my best to not be irritated with. But it's Naya arriving home to tell Miranda and also saying that as soon as she got the news, she picked up her phone to share with Andre.
And she says, how sad is that? And I don't think it's sad.
I don't think it's sad either. I think it's very normal that you had a person in your life that you said everything to and that person isn't there anymore. And I don't mean my annoyance in a way to discredit her feelings. I guess I just mean it to credit where she goes with her feelings a little bit.
Well, and maybe saying how sad is that isn't at her, but it's just sad in general that she doesn't have him anymore. So maybe that's what she means.
And that, you know, this is the life you wanted and she accept no man to share it with. And she's just going to stay home because after getting amazing news, she's sad because being single is basically the worst thing that can happen to a person. And that's, I understand that that's partly just me like getting annoyed. And everyone's allowed to feel their feelings. Like she feels sad. I just wish that the line would have not been like, I'm not going. I wonder if I would have been better with the line being like, I'm not sure how I feel about going tonight.
Or maybe it wasn't necessarily that she was single. I mean, we haven't seen her truly mourn her divorce.
And that is true. That is true.
So maybe that's what she's saying, is it just really hit her like a ton of bricks with this and she wanted time. But don't worry, Miranda has two words for her. Michelin chef. And Naya, it's like, cool.
Yeah. I did write, where is the bathroom?
It's in Naya's bedroom,
but is it to the left then?
I don't know. We don't really know, but we know that Miranda can't use it if she has to.
Yeah,
because
I was just curious.
Naya is having Tinder sex. Yeah, now we're at Carrie's apartment, and the party started. She has embroidered CB napkins, which I'm assuming are on every setting. We just see one, but I'm assuming she doesn't have them embroidered for each guest.
Yeah.
They're serving Cosmos. Charlotte comes in. Do you remember when we would come here and eat cold sesame noodles out of a cardboard box? And then I once again thought, okay, this is going to be a nostalgia episode.
Yeah.
And now I want cold sesame noodles out of a cardboard
box. God, I miss them. I miss them so much. I just think that Charlotte like announcing her own arrival is funny. She's like, I'm here. We're like, hey, girl, aren't you hungover? What's up?
That's very Charlotte. Carrie, do you know what that stain on the ceiling is coming from, Lizette?
Nope, that stain is Lizette's problem now. And then, you know, Charlotte notices that Lisa's drinking.
Yeah, and LTW tells Charlotte that she miscarried.
And it's very quick, and I like how this is handled in the moment. I like LTW's thing of like, not here.
Yeah.
Like, it's just sort of like, this is what happened, you know the facts, not here, let's move on.
Yeah.
And then Harry arriving from the Apple store with a new phone because she's slaying at work.
Yep, and she also threw it into a pitcher of margaritas.
Yeah.
It's the fancy iPhone 14 Max, I need a new phone. And Mike, you bought a new phone a while ago so we could film a sex tape, and we've never done it.
And it's a 13, that tells you how old it is.
Yeah. Carrie goes downstairs.
Yeah, Anthony and Giuseppe have arrived.
Yep, and she has to use the fancy gay guy kitchen.
Because she only has an easy bake oven.
Yeah, we're just still referring to them as the gay guys. And then the kitty is also in the gay guy house.
Yes. And Giuseppe has the, you know, after you, unless it makes you feel like a woman. So we haven't dealt with this. Okay.
Nope. And then Che comes in and Lizette fangirls a bit and also acts like a host a little bit in
well,
the moment.
I also wrote, it definitely feels like they're styling Lizette to be Carrie 2.0.
Okay. I felt like maybe Lizette just doesn't know anyone and is standing there and finally sees Che and knows Che.
And is like, oh, I recognize this person. Yeah. And is there any new comedy thing I should be looking out for? I like that she doesn't really have the language.
Yeah, but don't worry. Che's going to go into a very intense conversation to have right at a first meeting and lets Lizette know that they are emotionally transitioning. And Lizette tells them they're in their cocoon phase. But when Lizette was in her cocoon phase, she made a butterfly ring and now things are great.
Well, I do like, and I do think that there is validity to the idea of like, well, I'm never going to see you again, so I'll go ahead and tell you this really personal thing. Like, I do think that's a thing.
Okay.
Like, that is that thing of like,
okay,
you're a stranger, have no ramifications in my future. Here's what's going on with me. So I did like that. And then we get Jackie and Smoke arriving and the whole like, this is how stand-ups express love.
Yeah, Jackie and Che just start making fun of each other, and maybe Jackie needs Zoloft, and then Miranda and Naya come in.
Yeah, and I, you know, I got your back, you got mine, I don't really know any of these people, and then there's Toussaint.
Yeah, the chef says hello and recognizes Naya. They met at Bar T, his place. He is Toussaint, Toussaint with T. The chef was the man that Naya was barricading with her purse.
Yeah, and I went back and watched that part of the first episode. And we probably mentioned it at the time, because that location was actually GGT Tokyo on East 28th Street in Manhattan. So we're now representing that as though it was Brooklyn, which is fine. Mm-hmm. Like, there was no, I was kind of like, I think that we should know. And but no, there was no mention of it. It makes sense that it could have been in Brooklyn and that we're renaming it after this particular chef. They were saying that, like, you thought the Samantha cameo was a tough one to keep secret, which they didn't end up keeping secret. They were like, this was the thing that we didn't want anyone to know about and we didn't want anyone to, like, see coming, was that you had this character from the very first episode of this season who then suddenly appears in this final episode. And this was something they had protected. And even with the actor, they'd been like, please trust us. Like, it seems like you're doing this random scene, but it's really going to all make sense later on. And it's good. I think it's a really good callback.
And you are married, he says. Yep. I'm not now.
And then even I love her thing to Miranda, like, you can go up now. You can go. You can go.
What about my back? Your back's fine.
Yeah. And I'm Professor Naya Wallace. You can call me Naya.
And then we cut to Che doing some shots with the caterer.
Yeah, I wrote, Che is doing tequila shots in the kitchen with a worker, so I assume they're going to finger bang later.
Well, don't worry. I have that listed later.
Okay.
Because then Miranda reaches the kitchen. Hi, we can't ruin Carrie's thing. Che says, I will never do those jokes or make fun of you again. So sorry I hurt you. But you ghosted me. And then Miranda says, I'm bad at leaving relationships. Okay, so you're bad at something. Che was bad at something. Miranda, you're not better than them.
But I also like how quickly, once again, much like the LTW situation, I don't mean to make light of that at all, but I like how we're able to have these characters kind of go, hey, we're not going to ruin Carrie's thing.
Yeah.
Like, let's figure this out. Let's get this done right away. And they do. They, like, work through it and pretty quickly get to, like, you know, what were we? And we were a train wreck. And this was actually a really, really funny moment on the podcast, because I think it's Michael Patrick King says, you know, Che says that they were a train wreck because they were a train wreck. And one of the writers on the podcast, and I don't remember which one, basically says, like, and at this point, the entire viewership gives out a sigh of relief.
Yeah.
And I think it was just in the acknowledgement of, like, this was never meant to last forever.
No.
This was never meant to be, like, a lifetime together. This was a train wreck. Like, this was not a good idea. The thing that we all thought as it was happening was true. Like, this was not a great relationship, but I like Miranda's idea of, like, but maybe it was a good train wreck. Like, it's one of those ones that gets you where you have to go, and this is the only train that would have gotten you there.
Yeah, when Chase says, what was that, a train wreck? I wrote, finally someone said it.
Yes.
But a train we needed to go on to get us to the place, which I get. Like, we've all had those experiences, those relationships in our life
Absolutely.
That we know were not right for us, but we needed to have that experience to get us to where we were going.
Yes, 100%. You know?
And those are, and what I think people need to remember about this TV show in general is that it's not always going to be perfect, and people in life do stupid things, and people in life, and maybe the writers just had a bad few episodes and were like, let's make this all seem intentional. Or maybe it was just, let's have this woman completely go nuts and have this wild and wacky relationship. But either way, Carrie walks by and sees Che and Miranda in her kitchen and says, is everything okay in there? Of course, she's a tad traumatized because last time Miranda and Che were in her kitchen, yeah. They had finger segs and she peed her bed.
Yeah. And once again, I like how quickly this is done. That Carrie's literally just like, everything okay? And they're like, yep, everything's fine.
Yeah.
And we're like, great, we're moving past this. I do feel like I need to point out that Carrie's dress is an Oscar de la Renta that had literally come off the runway.
Okay.
Like, it had been in a show and been photographed, and they were like, that's the dress. And, like, Sarah Jessica Parker was, like, the second person to ever wear this dress, basically. And it is gorgeous. Like, it is an amazing dress.
That reminds me about the time when I was in an off Broadway show and I worked the Sunday night shift and I came right off the runway to wait tables. Same thing. So then Seema and Ravi arrive, and a party worker comes to take Seema's coat and then kind of checks her out. I don't know if you caught this.
Oh, I didn't catch that. I just wrote,
yeah.
Seema and Ravi have arrived, and in another world, this becomes an Agatha Christie mystery. It's like, we've assembled all the people, now someone has to die.
And then we have a crowd of people talking, and Giuseppe is talking, and LTW asks him if he misses Rome. He says he does, but he may be returning next month because he can only get so far in New York publishing. It is, what's the word? Impenetrable, which I think is mostly about Anthony's butt.
100%. And so I wrote, is this an ass sex metaphor?
Right.
It is.
And then Ravi and Carrie are talking, and Ravi is also entranced by the random Carrie art.
I wrote, Ravi notices the painting that I wish I knew more about.
Right. Well, Carrie can't decide if the lady is having the time of her life or in a grueling dance marathon, but then we do discover it is a thrift store painting. She mentions that she got it.
Yes, we're going to get there. I was like, oh, thank you. Thank you for the information.
Yeah.
And Seema's just making it awkward. Ravi has to take a call, and I should never have said I love you first. And I kind of wrote, this storyline feels exhausting. So one thing we hadn't brought up before was this has echoes of Samantha. There was this Samantha episode where she said, I love you. And granted, it was a different situation that she had been on ecstasy, I believe, and had said it in the throes of passion and on this drug. But I was like, you know, when that happened, they got through it in one episode. I don't know that we needed two episodes to cover this conversation, but I guess since it's the same day, sure, okay.
Yeah, I think they're just trying to set this up as, you know, this kind of the same thing as Samantha crying, you know, I think it was at Miranda's mom's funeral. Like those moments where we see these human moments in the character that we think of as Superwoman. Yeah, Ravi has a call and Seema thinks he's pulling away, but Carrie thinks Seema is pulling away because she's scared.
Yeah, this is what you've been waiting for.
Yeah. And then we have Giuseppe and Anthony, and they're having a talk in Carrie's closet with her old bras.
Yes.
And Giuseppe says it's more about more than his ass. You won't let me in. It's always about something. Young, old, poet, sphincter.
And Lizette kind of glides through and is excited about the closet and then sees the old bras, and it's kind of just a random, like,
yeah,
Lizette passing through moment.
Yeah, and this isn't about your ass wall, it's about your other wall.
Okay, here's the thing. Was that a line we were just all waiting to enter the lexicon at some point? This is not about your ass wall.
I don't know, but I do want a collection of greeting cards just from Giuseppe at this point. He has some great quotes. I really want to give one that says, young, old poet sphincter.
Perfect. And, you know, we get there now, as it felt like it took a while to get there, but Anthony now gets to, like, admitting that he's the problem, that he's only been in love one other time, and he called all the shots.
You're in love with me?
Which isn't exactly what he said, but he does admit, yes, have I not said that to you yet?
Yeah, another wall. And then Carrie comes in with
shoe.
Shoe as in shoe, and shoe as in shoe. Get out of my shoe.
It's a very silly line, but it does feel Carrie.
Yeah, and you love it because it's Kitty. And then Giuseppe and Anthony are making out in the closet, and LTW walks through to get to the bathroom, and then Herbert follows behind. They're both very polite.
Yeah, I will also say that they're on like a first take of this. The two actors playing Anthony and Giuseppe didn't stop making out. Like, as the people passed through, they just kept making out. And I think Michael Patrick King was like, this isn't a 90s sitcom. Like, you can go ahead and stop kissing when the people are passing through the closet. Which
right.
I do think is, like, a funny note and a funny instinct of, like, we'll just keep making out while they walk by.
Yeah, I mean, they are adults. Like, I think if you were in a different time of your life, you maybe wouldn't have stopped. And then Lisa's sitting on the edge of the bathtub and asks Herbert if she wished the baby away. She feels guilty. He says it wasn't meant to be. And says, do you want to leave? And she says, no, the table is so pretty.
And I like that that's the reason. Like, I like that to her, she's like, no, the table's so pretty. And this is a really, really tough scene that I think is really beautifully done. And this is another one that Michael Patrick King talks about that he had never pictured them sitting. Mm. Like, he imagined they would walk into the bathroom and stand and have a conversation, but that the instinct was to sit on the tub and that it made it so much more vulnerable. And I think it's worth mentioning that he brings up God, and I'm not a religious person, so it's not something that, like, strikes me all that much, but, like, it struck me only in so much as we don't get a lot of God on this show.
Correct. It did strike me as well.
So I liked that. It felt very character-specific. And yeah, mm-hmm. Dinner's served, and now we're at dinner.
And Toussaint presents the first course. Enjoy olives. No, Toussaint, I will not.
Yeah, I'm not a big olive person. I guess that I would have gone ahead and tried it. It looked like a piece of sushi to me, but I guess it's olives with instructions. And they did break this down more, that it's like, what is it called? It's like deconstructed food. So you're not really eating an olive. You're like, it's a molecular olive or something like that.
Well, all I know is that Naya says, "So I lick the spoon after the black one."
Yeah.
Naya, not at the table. She's like just having eye sex with Toussaint.
And this was all obviously this was all very like in the world of Sex and the City, where she's like, "Ooh, it exploded in my mouth. I wasn't ready for that." And I'm like, "Okay, girl."
Yeah, Robbie's phone rings again. It's the studio. He excuses himself. Finally, Anthony says what we're all thinking. Get a room.
Yeah, get a room. And I will say a little behind the scenes. So they filmed this over the course of more than one day. And apparently this second day when they came back, someone was like, "So, did anyone else have any interesting experience in the bathroom last night?" Because what they were doing is literally just eating oil. Like, these were like oils. And Kristen Davis was like, "Well, I didn't actually eat any of it. I just pretended to." So she had been fine. But basically anyone that hadn't like mimed eating the oil had had an experience overnight.
Oily poop.
Yeah. And we get Robbie downstairs on the phone and, you know, "Tell that to the Egyptian Film Commission and call me right back." Okay.
We find out that Egypt changed the dates that Robbie can shoot in front of the Great Sphinx, and his producer wants to flip New York and Cairo dates. And Seema seems to think that he's done all of this because she said she loved him. Like, that seems like a very big thing to do, to just try to avoid you, Seema.
Right. And she has the thing of like, "Can't you just build the Sphinx out of foam in Yankee Stadium?" And this conversation was written day of. This was apparently originally a much more like passive conversation. And that one of the writers on set was like, "He needs to shut this down. Like, she's behaving completely inappropriately and he needs to tell her so." And I like that. I like that that's where we get with him saying like,
"Oh, come on, Seema. I have given you absolutely no reason to not trust me on my word. Your questioning and your doubt and your insecurity is not only an insult to me and my feelings, but to what we have and what we could be. I don't know whose crazy movie you're starting in, but it's certainly not mine."
And then he proves to her, "See, Egypt's calling. It's all real."
Yeah.
Does the phone just say Egypt?
I don't know. I had the same thought. It's just like, Egypt. And Carrie's starting the toast, or I guess it's really speeches. We get this whole thing where she wants them to go around the room and say one word they want to let go of. And I wrote, "And more rules." That like, if someone else says the word before you, you have to choose a new one. And I don't know how quickly you want to do this, but basically, you know, Che says rules.
Smoke says competitiveness.
Jackie says smoke, and then says nervousness, which is a better one.
Anthony says control.
Giuseppe says Rome, which I thought was interesting. You don't have to let go of Rome, but okay.
But he's just letting him know he's going to stay with
sure.
him. Sure. Ravi says social-media.
Yeah, I like that. I like it. And Seema says distrust, which makes sense.
Naya says yesterday.
Which was Miranda's word. So she switches to regrets, but then quickly changes to guilt.
And LTW says guilt.
Yeah, I like it. I also like, I would like to know what the script says, because what Lisa says is sugar. And I think what was in the script was shit. Because like that was, you're supposed to be saying like, "Oh shit, that's my word." And instead she says sugar. And I think that that was just sort of her way of saying that. And I like that touch. Yeah, and she's like, "Sorry, Carrie, I'm staying with guilt."
And Herbert?
Yeah, Herbert asked to come back to him, and then we never do, so I'd like to know what Herbert's word was, but I think it's just to indicate that in the moment he doesn't have the words. He doesn't have even a single word.
Lizette says gay guys.
Yeah.
She says fear.
And then wonders if that was too real, and Che basically says, no, we were all just too afraid to say it.
Harry says possessiveness.
And Charlotte says limits.
And Carrie gives a speech.
Yeah, I really like it.
Carrie says expectations, assuming things will go the way we think they should because we never know what tomorrow will bring. Okay, Carrie, this is more the Woodward.
But Che says it for us.
Yeah. And what we say in the secret club of people who have decided they cannot drink safely is expectations are resentments waiting to happen.
That's good. It's very smart.
What would your one word be?
So yeah, we'll definitely do that, because my first thought was fear.
Mm-hmm, me too.
And then I kind of quickly, yeah, but then I also thought to myself, like, fear is also an important thing. Like, fear is something that you should feel. Like, it is something that can keep you alive in a dangerous situation. So what I settled on was perfection.
I think ego for me is one, because I think fear, ego kind of ties in that idea of like not being good enough, being too good, being perfect, like. Or maybe it's just letting go of, I think for me it's fear. I think it's still all fear.
Okay. Because fear works for me as well. I just decided to change it to perfection because I think that what I'm most afraid of is not being perfect.
Right. Well, you're not.
And then we have Carrie talking with Charlotte and Harry. And did you have your closed caption on for this?
Yes, but I don't know if I noticed. But I did notice, but it wasn't enough of a sentence or something.
Carrie says to Charlotte and Harry, "You actually never told me that you two had a..."
And nothing's there. And Miranda quickly comes in to say that she has to do an interview on the BBC tonight. And I was thinking in this moment, thank God Miranda quit drinking or she would be 17 Chablis deep.
My first thought is, oh, I hope she's not too drunk. And I'm like, oh, bright side to not being a drinker. That's she can do this interview.
Yeah. And she's already all dressed up and ready for it.
Yeah. And downstairs, Toussaint is offering Naya a ride home because his favorite way to Harlem is through Brooklyn.
And then Miranda leaves Carrie's apartment, a la Carrie Bradshaw, screaming for a cab.
100%. I wrote the exact same thing. And of course, it's purposeful that it's the Museum of Sex being advertised on the cab.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And then, you know, now we have Ravi telling Seema, you know, how few directors have been permitted to film in front of the Sphinx. And listen, I started doing the research.
One of 12.
I was like, I'm going to find all 12 of these. And it was too much. So I let it go.
Yeah. He invites her to Cairo for 5 months, but she's not giving up her career for a man. But she is terrified that he's going to leave. And he's coming back because he's in love with her.
And because she made him sign that ironclad lease, which I'm confused. I thought it was a temporary thing.
Everything's confusing in the world of Seema and Ravi.
And you know what I like about this? And they did sort of talk about this on the podcast, was that, you know, we've had instances where Carrie left her career to go to Paris to be with the Russian. Mm-hmm. And Miranda left her schooling to go to LA to be with Che. And not that those were bad decisions to have been made, though they were both bad decisions to have been made. Like, this is the instance of a character saying, like, I'm not leaving New York for you. Mm-mm. Like, I don't know you that well. I'm not giving up on what I have here. And I like
that. I can't miss the grand opening of Steve's Clam Shack.
Exactly.
Yeah, and then we get to the emergency BBC recording where we meet Joy.
Yeah, and I love just the Joy fear. Like, that is really good.
We'll be finished in 5 minutes, and then we'll grab a drink. Oh, I don't drink. I think you might. I said, no is a complete sentence, Joy.
And we have a moment with the tattoo.
Yeah, Miranda pats her tattoo. And then Carrie takes baby Shu to blow out the candles. Don't throw her in the fire, Carrie. And then Aiden throws rocks at Carrie's window.
Well, I wrote, Kitty is awake after it's bedtime. Yeah, she gets the perks of having a pet, conversation with no feedback, and then stones hitting the window, which obviously is a throwback to when they threw stones at each other's windows back in the day. And he's somehow gotten in and is up the stairs. And he'd been ringing the buzzer, but it wasn't working, so it must have finally broke. Don't tell Lizette.
Yeah, I said, the buzzer finally broke. Aiden finally walks into the apartment and explodes.
Yeah. And Lizette is who would let him in. We have the whole thing of like, yeah, you're in the apartment. She offers a drink and has everything except for beer.
But you should have a drink.
Do I need a drink?
Yeah, where's your luggage? Aiden doesn't think. Basically, we have this conversation where we find out that Wyatt had shrooms and beer in his system, crashed the car. Aiden doesn't think he can come back up. He's not going to be able to do back and forth. He's been the constant in the relationship with Wyatt. Carrie says, can I visit you? And Aiden says, you can't come there because he'd only be thinking of you.
I don't know. I have many thoughts, and we'll get to some of them. I will also say that my iPad autocorrected psilocybin to citrus loipan.
Oh, okay. Makes sense.
The only thing that he loves more than her is his boys, but he won't lose her again. And it's only 5 years. It's going to go by so fast. And
it'll go by like...
Yeah, he doesn't really snap his fingers because that's how fast it's going to be. And I guess I just feel like... And we're going to give ourselves wiggle room later on. But to say in this moment, we just can't see each other for 5 years, feels a little bit drastic. That, like, let's see 6 months from now how we're doing. Like, one of us probably can visit the other at some point. Like, we don't have to not see each other for 5 years.
Yeah, I do remember talking about this with parents and saying, you know, he does want to just be there fully for this child. And when your child has just done something so drastic, like, it does feel like there's no gray space in that moment. It's just, this is what this is. This is the decision I've made. And like you said, we will eventually get to a point where we see that there is a little bit more wiggle room. But Carrie says, I thought I'd let go. Of what? Of expectations.
Yeah. And it, Harry and Charlotte are trying to set up her phone. And like, should we just call Rock?
Yeah. Richard Burton sitting there just thinking, will someone call Rock? You guys are annoying me. Miranda and Joy are talking and she wasn't forced to drink. We do see a bottle of Saratoga water there. Anthony is getting effed and he is terrified. And then we zoom to the nightstand and see an assortment of lube and tequila.
Yeah, and I just, boy butter, there's nothing worse titled than boy butter. I just hate that. I hate that title so much.
Well, it's also, it comes in this container that kind of mimics a margarine or butter tub.
Man margarine. There, I fixed it.
That's better.
And then we get Che at their place and Toby's there.
Yeah, I wrote, Che is showing person who I forgot their name, view. And now they're making out.
And then, and obviously what we're doing here is we're mirroring the beginning of the series. Like we're sort of seeing them sometimes in pairs, sometimes not. Sometimes it's sexual, sometimes it's not. Because we get to Naya and Toussaint at her place and him asking if she has anything to eat. Because they all just ate, but he didn't.
And then we get to Carrie and Aiden having last segs.
I wrote at her new place, which it must be their new place.
Yeah.
Because obviously the bed isn't at the old place anymore.
No. And Ravi and Seymour having segs. And I'm just shocked. Ravi is smoking like an e-cigar thing, but Seymour is just straight up like smoking in her bed, which kind of surprises me.
Yeah, just like various smoking, and he gets a notification on his phone, and they have the moment where she sort of takes the phone and sets it down, and then he takes it back to scroll pictures of the Sphinx, and so she takes it away again. Like, oh, okay.
And then we have this nice moment of LTW and Herbert just holding each other.
Just in bed together. It's very, very sweet. And we have Aiden leaving the next morning, and no matter what happens, this was not a mistake.
He's pointing to the apartment and Carrie, by the way.
Yeah.
He's not pointing to, like, two random people on the street. And then Seema calls. They're going to the beach. They're not going to the Hamptons.
But not the Hamptons. This is fine. I guess we wanted to end on a big note.
Yeah, so they're at the beach. They're at Greece. Carrie says,
Seema says, I'm waiting 5 months and you're waiting 5 years. And this is where Carrie says she might get some time off for good behavior. And I feel like that's the seed planted of like, we're not necessarily going to wait 5 years. Like, let's see how things go. I think good behavior could be why it's good behavior.
Right. Or I'm sure before, in betwixt the conversation of Carrie saying, I thought I'd given up on expectations and the last segs, there was another conversation that we didn't hear all of.
And Seema says, we ran at love and where did that get us? And it got us to Greece. And Seema asks, what if they never come back? And Carrie says, there will be more. Seema asks, men? And Carrie says, cocktails.
And just like that, I ordered two more cosmopolitans.
And we have don't sing the song, Ali. Gosh, that's a throwback of you trying to sing the theme song and me having to shut it down.
Well, we were all bringing things
back.
Yeah,
it's true. And we have the rare not fade to black credit sequence. This has only happened a few times in the history of either of the series. And it's funny that I'm sure that I noticed before, but I do think it's interesting and I'm sure there's some legality to it or maybe just some kind of like nod. But I think it's interesting that we still have this as created by Darren Star.
Mm.
Because Darren Star didn't create And Just Like That. He created Sex and the City. So I don't know if it's just that, like, well, that this is based on that, so he gets to keep that. Or it might even be a thing of, like, you know, he created the original thing. Let's keep him as the creator. And this is where I wrote, was Niall Cunningham in the episode? Because he's credited. And then when I watch it again, I'm like, oh, yeah, he rides up his bike and cashes a check.
What if we just start seeing him in all of these HBO shows, just pulling up on a bike and smiling?
Just rides up and smiles. And, you know, Kim Cattrall gets a special appearance by credit. And there you go. That's the end of the second season of And Just Like That. And I guess that I'll save most of my thoughts for the next episode, which we'll do one more episode where we'll kind of talk about the entirety of the season.
I guess I couldn't help but wonder what the rest of the food was at that dinner. We just got Enjoy Olives.
Yeah, I guess I couldn't help but wonder why Greece.
Why not?
So many other beaches you could have gone to. That I also think it's funny because obviously she's flown many times, but we have definitely gotten past the Carrie that doesn't want to fly in an airplane, which was Carrie in season 5, I believe.
Yeah.
She's definitely kicked that fear, so good for her.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe that's what people who have money to fly to Greece do.
Maybe. And that's it. So I think we'll save the rest for the next episode.
Okay.
Which will be
save
back
the last
next,
dance.
Yeah, we'll save the last dance. We'll be back next week to kind of like wrap up this entire season.
Woo!
Yep, there
woo,
we go.
Woo!
All right, talk to you later.
Woohoo! Woo! I'm trying to be a woohoo.
Trying to be
person.
A woohoo person. I can't do it.
Yeah. Try it.
Woohoo.
That was terrible. Okay, bye.
You can subscribe to our new Patreon-only podcast, We Couldn't Help But Wonder, Still Wondering, right now! For more information, like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram at We Couldn't Help But Wonder with no caps, no spaces, and no punctuation, and Twitter at WCHBW Podcast. And don't forget to check out my new podcast with Vanya Arslanian, Mike and Vanya Can't Not. You can follow Elise at Evie Castle and me at MikeJensen77. We would love if you would share this podcast with someone, put up a link or tell a friend. Take a moment and rate us on Apple Podcasts, or even better, write a review there. Most importantly, take care of yourself and let's take care of each other. Up next, a look back at season 2 of And Just Like That.
And I feel like because we haven't recorded, we record our I feel
rewind.
Like because rewind, reboot. The Golden Black York. I cannot talk right now. Now we are at.
That's his, why can I never think of his name? That's his name, right?
You hate him.
I don't know why. Like, I'm blanking on it all the time.
Yeah, I have a stain on my ceiling right now because my upstairs neighbor, her air conditioner was leaking. And now I have a ceiling stain that kind of looks like a period stain that you try to wash out of your underwear, but it didn't wash out completely.
Mm, colorful.
Mm. No, not really. Just like shades of brown.
I meant your description.
Oh.
And then, you know, Charlotte notices that Lisa's drinking.